welcome to each of you. It's good to be here, but not necessarily up here. But it's been a good service. I really enjoyed the service so far. Good Sunday school lesson. Good stuff. Thanks, Harley, I love history, and so these lessons he's been teaching, and apparently he does too, because he gets right into it. I like that. Because if you don't know, it just helps your understanding. It helps me to understand the lesson better if I know the background, if I know the things that took place around that time. And it's just God is good. And that and in the lesson, he talks about that God is a jealous God, it says. And I think that was verse 2. Verse 3 said that God is something about wrath. Now I can't get it. But anyway, and it reminded me, it tied right in with what I want to share. And it's nothing new, but I love these old patriarchs. And I thought maybe today we'd just take a few minutes to look at Noah and what he did and what he went through. And there's so much good we can learn from these old patriarchs. We're going to read that in Hebrews 11, the Hall of Faith. Noah's mentioned there. It's Abraham, Noah, all these other guys. And what they faced. Jonah, we had in our Sunday school lesson a few weeks ago. And it's pretty easy to be tough with these guys. But Jonah, I don't blame him, but like Harley said, if you understand the history of the time he was in, none of us would have wanted to go to Nineveh. We'd have probably done what he did. Well, maybe not, but we'd have done something like that. I probably wouldn't have. Of course, back then, they didn't have airplanes. They didn't have, he didn't have anything but a horse, a mule, or a boat, and that's what he did. And today, we'd probably hop a jet, and we'd go further than he did, more likely. But anyway, it's not easy to preach to your enemies, and that's what he was doing. Noah, in our lesson today up here, Noah was a little bit the same way. The people, can you imagine preaching for 120 years? And the flack he took, he had to have been mocked. You know, it had never rained. Building a boat on dry land roughly 100 miles from any water. Can you imagine a couple of years building this thing, a couple of years of that would be one thing, but 120, God bless him. I'm going to read a little bit out of, there's a verse, we're going to start, well here, I better get started, start at the right place. Okay, Matthew 24, in verse 37, there's three verses I'm going to read here in Matthew 24. He said, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Are we in the days of Noah? Don't answer me. Just think about it. Are we in the days of Noah now? You think so? Think about that. "For as the days that were before the flood," it says, "they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. That's the way it's going to be when Jesus comes back. Just exactly like that. That's kind of my theme today. As it was in the days of Noah. That song keeps going through my mind. We just played it, I think, last weekend. I had Sally, she found it on her phone. But as it was in the days of Noah, And I can't get that out of my head. Anyway, are we living in those days today? Okay, Hebrews 11, and verse 7, he says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Did you catch that? Being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I love that. He says, being warned of God of things not seen. Going back to what I said earlier, they didn't know what rain was. They hadn't seen rain. I think the earth was, they say, was watered by dew or by the fountains of the deep. Actually, it was watered from underneath, perhaps, springs, that kind of thing. They didn't know what rain was. And sure didn't know what a boat was. Well, yeah, he probably knew what a boat was. But he was a long way from water. God gave him the directions. He said, Noah, he said, it's going to rain. It's like I heard one man say, he said, Noah's message. Noah had one message for the people. He said, he walked around. He said, it's going to rain. Three words. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. Can you imagine that for 120 years? Okay. It's going to rain. That was Noah's message. Okay. By faith, Noah warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I like that. To the saving of his house, his household. There were only eight souls saved. It said him and his wife, three sons and their wives. Can you imagine eight people of all those, I would assume millions of people, only eight were saved. There's a couple verses for a little bit of background. There's a lot of scripture, and I'm not going to read much simply because we don't have enough time to do that. But back in Genesis 6, 6, 7, 8, and 9, it talks about Noah. It gives us this account. In chapter 6 and verse 9, I want to read that. He said, these are the generations of Noah. It says, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. Let's just note it. Just take note of that. Noah was a just man and perfect. He wasn't perfect, but he was a man of integrity. He was an upright man, just like the Bible talks about Job, how he eschewed evil. He ran away from it. He was affected by it, but he was a just man. Noah was a man of integrity in his generation, and it says that Noah walked with God. Can I say that I do? Can you say that you do? Can we say that we walk with God like Noah did? He walked with God. You know, and so is that why maybe he was walking with God? He was in step. He was in lockstep with God. He had, God was his, obviously because of the culture he lived in, I think Noah and God, him and his sons, his family, his household, and God, that's all there was. I doubt if he had much to do with the people on the outside. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe he preached to them. But obviously it didn't do any good. They didn't listen. He was walking in God. He was walking in lockstep with God. And if you want to hear from God, and God spoke to him, we can read it on down through here. It says in verse 11, the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And look, in verse 13, he says, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then in verse 14, he goes on, he says, make thee an ark of gopher wood. And he goes on and tells how big this thing is. But what I want to get at is God walked, Noah, if I get it right here, Noah was walking with God close enough to hear what God could say, what God was saying. How many times, okay, I'm a Christian. We're all Christians. We say we are. Okay, we are. We walk with God. We're walking with God. But am I close enough? Am I walking close enough to God to hear what he has to say? Noah was. And it says there in Hebrews 11, he was a just man. And he feared God. He was here it says he was a just man. And he walked back in Hebrews 11, it says he feared God with a godly fear to the saving of his household. You know, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here, but you know, it says to the saving of his household. You know, if nothing else, as a missionary, as a mom or dad, as a parent, as a friend, you know, the most important thing for us that God has for us to do, I think, is to see that our families are saved, to see that our families get in. You know, God says at the end here, when it started to rain, Noah didn't shut that door. It says God closed it. God closed them in. So what that tells me is God was in charge of everything. God was in charge of this whole scene. Noah was just a player. But the reason God spoke to him, the reason God was able to speak to Noah is because he was walking close enough to God that God could speak to him. He heard what God said. He said, you can probably imagine, God told Noah, he said, it's going to rain. I want you to build me a boat. A big boat. But you know, if Noah would have been over here, if he'd have been drugged by the culture he was living in, if he'd have been walking closer to them, he wouldn't have heard what God had to say. I don't think he would have. He wouldn't have been able to. I just love that. Noah walked with God. And what's so significant about that is because of the culture that he was living in. And another question I have is like in our Sunday school lesson we've had over the last few weeks, how God destroyed Nineveh. No, I'm sorry. Let me back up. Got that wrong. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, but he saved Nineveh. He destroyed the earth with water, with a flood, everything. He destroyed everything, but he saved Nineveh. God's in charge, and I'm glad he is. You know, in Isaiah it talks about God's ways are so much higher than our ways, and his thoughts so much higher than ours. I'm glad he is. Oh, I'm glad that's the God I serve. I wouldn't want to be in charge, and I sure wouldn't want any of you to be in charge either. No. Thank God he's in charge. He opens the door and he shuts it. How in the world do you think all these animals got two by two up into the ark? And he says the unclean went two by two, but the clean animals went by the sevens. That's what he says at a time. How in the world? Did Noah do that? Well, he was there, but he wasn't in charge of that. Nah. God was. God had it all. Them animals, they knew where to go, man. They just went right up the gate. You know, you hear the phrase, people use the phrase, well, Sally used it all the time, but she got to get her ducks in a row. Well, God knows how to do that. He got the old ducks in a row. They went and whatever, everything, the birds, the lions, the elephants, the giraffe, everything. He did it all. God was in charge. And when it was all done, and when it was all built and done, it says God, where is that? I'm getting way ahead here, but that's okay. He says in chapter 7 of Genesis, in verse 16, he says, and they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. You know, I remember as a kid, we used to read these Bible story books, bedtime Bible story books, and it always had the story of the flood in there. It showed the picture of the ark. The big ramp door was down. The animals were going up. And it showed Noah there. It was a beautiful scene, beautiful picture. But the next page, the door was shut, and it was raining. It was really raining. And what did you see? You saw people knocking on the door, climbing up, knocking on the door. Remember that? I do. I'll never forget that scene. People were trying to get in, trying to knock the door down to get in. But you know, Noah preached for 120 years. Man, it's not like they didn't have time, right? They had plenty of time. 120 years. Most of us probably won't live that long, I don't think. But getting back to what he said, in Hebrews 11, I want to go back there again. I just love that. He said, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. He did what he needed to do to save his house. Thank God he had his house with him, his household. And he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. He obeyed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Says the same thing about Abraham. He moved and didn't know where he was going, but he just obeyed. He obeyed God. And isn't that what faith does? You know, if I believe in the God I serve, and if I believe in the God I'm walking with, I'm going to do what he says. I'm going to be obedient. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the culture we live in, and the culture Noah lived in. He preached, you know. He probably worked on that old ark during the daytime, and maybe at night he'd preach. I don't know. It just says it. Where is it? 2 Peter 2, I think. In 2 Peter 2, there's a couple verses we may get to that. It reads, it says that he was a preacher of righteousness. So Noah preached. He was telling these people what it's going to rain. We need to get ready. Get your house in order. Did it do any good? I don't guess it did. The Bible says there was only 8 souls. Only 8 people were saved. And you know, it doesn't say it about anybody else back during that era, during the time of Noah, but it says that Noah walked with God. Apparently, he was the only one that was walking with God. Apparently, he was the only one. Is it any wonder in Matthew where it talks about the two roads, the narrow way and the broad way? He says about the narrow way with the straight gate, he says there's few that find it. It must be difficult. You know, is it any different today? You know, we have God's word. We have church. We have Christian families, friends. All kinds of things to encourage us and to spur us on. But you know what? If I don't believe it, if I don't apply it to my own heart, I'm just going to go on living like I did before. It's not going to make any difference. And I think our culture largely is going that road, going down that route. You know, there was a time when this country was friendly to the Christian, our government. Society in general, people in general. As a Christian, you were respected. They might have not agreed with you, but they respected you enough to be polite and to leave you alone, basically. But I think we're maybe in the post-Christian culture today, where it's not that way. Oh, we haven't seen a whole lot of persecution as far as that goes. But there's a lot of animosity, a lot of hatred, a lot of, and I'm sure Noah faced it, and that's what we're looking at in our society today. And I think as time goes on, it's even going to get more so to where you can identify. We can look at Scripture and we can identify ourselves with what these guys are saying simply because we're living it. You know, in times past, it was hard to identify with these guys. Like the in Acts, the apostles, when they were put in prison for their faith, they were persecuted. They ended up having their heads chopped off for it. It's pretty hard to identify with that because it's way out there somewhere. That's not where we're at. But you know what? Those things are changing. The Scriptures sometimes, when it talks about this, talks about these things, it's a little bit easier to identify with them now than it used to be. And that's not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Really, I do. Because it helps us, it helps keep me at least, keep me on my toes and keep me aware of where I'm at. And that, hey, this life isn't about me, the old cat theory, you know, it's not about me. It's about God. It's all about God. He's in charge, just like he was here. He caused it to rain. When everything was in place, everything was just right, then God shuts the door. But how does he know when to shut the door? I'm glad Noah wasn't in charge, and he wasn't. He didn't want to be. I doubt if he wanted to be. He may have closed the door before somebody got in. Okay? That's where I'm going to read a few verses in 2 Peter, because I think it brings it out really, really good. The long-suffering of God. Let me see. Let me see if I can find that. For the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. I have that somewhere. Because it talks, and I think it's key, because I think it's important to realize that the long suffering of God, you know, how could God, a loving God, destroy everybody like he did? How could he do that? How could a loving God do that? But we know, and it's just like it is today, God wouldn't do that until it's time. God wouldn't do that without giving all of us a fair chance, giving us more than a chance, more than a fair chance. And during the long suffering, let me see, where is that? I don't know, I just can't find it right now. So I guess we'll move on from that. But God is a long-suffering God. And just like it mentioned that, I think, in our lesson today as well. What's that? 3:9. Okay. You're talking about, there's that 1 Peter. Okay, well, that goes along with it, and I'm going to read that too. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness. There we go. Thank you. Yeah, that's right. But his long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. I'm going to start and just read a few verses before that, okay? In 2 Peter 3, it says, knowing this first, it says there's going to be scoffers walking after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, don't be ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And God's the only one, and I love that, because God's the only one that can make that judgment. You and I aren't God, so we can't see where a person is. We can't see where a person's heart is. We can't see if he's close to the kingdom or if he's not. But God can, okay? And so it's just like today. You see all the violence and some of the disasters, but especially the violence and the evil that's in our world today. And you hear people say, well, how can a loving, just God, how can he put up with that? Why doesn't he send fire down and, you know, take care of the issue, take care of the problem? God is a long-suffering God. Long-suffering. He gave these people, and there's no telling. Noah may have preached for 220 years. I don't know. But we know that he preached for 120. And he said, it's going to rain. You talk about the long-suffering of God, that's it right there. These people were wicked. It says, we read it back there in Genesis. They were evil. Their imaginations were evil continually. That's what it says, you know. And that's just powerful. It says, let's see. And God saw, in chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the,
And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it says it, and it repented the Lord. He says, I'm sorry that he made, I'm sorry that I made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. That's another thing, that's another word that I think is key. It grieved God at his heart to see the man he made, the crown of his creation, who is so damnable, living such a life of debauchery and everything you can name. It says it grieved him at his heart. But it says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. I'm going to read on down here. The earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come. I read it before. But for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them. I will destroy them with the earth. God gave them plenty of time. God gave them plenty of time. And he gave Noah. He gave Noah plenty of grace. It says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's an old song. If you remember, if you're from way back, you remember that one. And on down to verse 22, he says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And in chapter 7, verse 5, he says it again, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And the reason Noah did is he believed God. He had faith in God, and his belief in God moved him to obedience. He obeyed God because of it. He believed God. And it's just like us today. If you don't believe God, if you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that God is almighty, that God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if I don't believe that, I'm not going to live like it either. I'll be just like these people that got killed, that got drowned in a flood. They obviously did not believe. They had every opportunity. They didn't believe. If they would have, they would have obeyed. And that's what Noah did. Abraham did the same thing. He believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He obeyed. And that's just the way we are. When God talks to us, if I'm walking with God, I can hear what he's saying. And you know, I'm going to be out of step with the culture. It says here that God, Noah walked with God. He was in step with God. But you know, if I'm going to be in step with God, I'm going to be out of step with the culture. You can't have it both ways. And if I'm stepping with the culture, I'm not going to be one of God's people. It's just that way. It's just that simple. It's not difficult. And I heard a preacher say, this was years ago already. I heard a preacher say that he said, for some Christians, he said, it's more important to be in step with culture than it is to be in step with God. You know, sometimes that's where I find myself. I can't be critical of anybody, because in their place, there's a place in Scripture where it says that man's heart is evil continually. Anyway, it's wicked. Okay, the heart of man is wicked. Who can know it? That's just the way it is. A man who has been saved and experienced the grace of God, even then, why is it sometimes that some thoughts come into your mind, some things you have thoughts and your mind goes places that it has no business going? I said, where'd that come from? You know, it just shows me how human I am, shows me how fleshly I am, how earthly I am. But anyway, and there's another thing there he says, and right along with that, he says he saved his family by his lifestyle. He saved his family. And also it says that he condemned, and he condemned the world. That's in Hebrews 11. I'm just going to read that one more time. It's time to close. 11:7, he says, by faith be warned of things not seen. He moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness. By the which he condemned the world. And that's another thought. There's so many things a person can get out of here. You know, it's hard to know where to quit. But, you know, his lifestyle, His lifestyle flew in the face of the culture around him. He was out of step with that culture because he was listening to God. And his lifestyle, his life condemned the world that was around him. And it's just like today, the Christian. That's why the Bible says this world is not our home. And it's not. We're just a passing through, you know. That's just, if I could just keep that in mind and not be so concerned about what somebody thinks. Apparently Noah wasn't too concerned. He just went out there. If somebody made fun of him, he just went out the next day. Probably went out the next day and went preaching again. Said the same old thing. You know, it's going to rain, friend. You better get ready. Get in the boat. Get your boat together. I mean, yeah, get your act together and get in the boat. You know? Oh, it's just today. It's the same way today. If I want to be effective and affect the people around me, affect for good, affect the culture around me, I have to hold my candle. I have to hold my light up where they can see it, because we live in a broken world, a dark, broken world, and people are looking for the light. And how are they ever going to come to the light if I don't shine mine around where they can see, and you the same, you know? And yeah, it's just anyway, it's time to close. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you so much for this time together here today. God, I just thank you for the example that Noah was to us today. And how that he faced mockery, he faced all kinds of things in his culture, just like we did today, just like we do. And Father, he probably faced it much worse than we do. Lord, I just pray that you give us courage and help us not to be afraid what man can do, but God, to fear you, because you're almighty, you're all powerful. And you're righteous and holy. Thank you, God, that you're in charge. Thank you that your thoughts are higher than ours and your ways are so much higher than ours. Thank you for that, God. Please help us. Make this word grow on us, Father. Give us a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that we might follow you as would please you. I thank you, and I pray you'd bless everybody that's here today. Guide and direct each one of us through this day, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.